Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Fourth and final hour is off and running as we get it going here on a Wednesday, May 1st. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube, social media at 1210 WPHT. Great hour coming up. Bottom of the hour, we will have our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight presented by Window Nation, as we will be joined by Marine Corps Sergeant Jerry L. Golden III coming up in just about 28 minutes. But right now, we welcome in the 45th and hopefully 47th President of the United States of America, always kind enough to give us a few minutes of his time when he's not in court or on the campaign trail. The great Donald J. Trump is with us and back again. Mr. President, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, we're doing tremendously well. We love joining you. We love talking to the wonderful people of the city of brotherly love. You know that? They love me so much like a brother. They booed me so much, but that's a term of endearment. They do it to everybody. They do it to Santa. They broke the Liberty Bell, and that was a term of endearment, too. You know, they cracked it. They split it in half, but it's still together. And it's emblematic of our country. It's split in half, but it's still together. I'm going to fix it. We'll fix the Liberty Bell, too, if I'm your president, too. Philadelphia may not like that, but maybe we'll do it. But it's always good to be here. You guys do a tremendous job.
Let's start with the gag order. Judge Mershon, 9 gags, $9,000 total. I think that's $1,000 per gag. That's kind of the Stormy Daniels rate these days. Your thoughts on this contempt charge against you, sir?
Well, you talk about gags and you talk about Stormy Daniels and...
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, no.
I thought it was censored? A pregnant pause.
No.
Is Jack Dorsey back? Is he censoring the president? Oh, no, and he froze, too. He's mid
sabotage.
Oh, no, we've lost him.
He wants to say that I have to take down the... He wants to say that I have to take down the posts. He wants to say that I have to, stop posting on Truth Social. It's really a shame what's happening, and... Stormy Daniels, again, you talk about 9 gags. That's something that she's very familiar with. Karen McDougal, too. Maybe even your vice president. Who knows? But and that's gag orders we're talking about.
Yes, of course.
We need to have our minds in the gutter. It's the first day of the month. We don't have to get there yet. And let me just tell you something. Our minds are really going to head to the gutter next month. It's June. You know what happens. All the freaks come out. But you see... this judge, complete disgrace, piece of work. As I said, work is a four-letter word that we're allowed to say on the radio, so he's a piece of work, believe me.
I agree. So you and Ron DeSantis have apparently buried the hatchet. What led to this, and is he a possibility for vice president? Some people on this show think that Mr. DeSantis could be in your wheelhouse. What do you think, sir?
Well, first of all, Ron was the one who buried the hatchet because he's a lot closer to the ground than I am. So he's a little person. He didn't have to go very far. And he dug a nice little hole and he put the hatchet. He covered it up and he said, Mr. President, I'm sorry. And I said, apology probably accepted, but we'll see what happens. Vice president, probably not. Because there's it hasn't changed. You must be this tall to be my vice president. And having two candidates from the same state is probably not the greatest idea either. But there are other people who we've been talking about who we're no longer talking about. But you must be this tall. He's just not tall enough. I said, you came up to me. He said, sir, I want to maybe be a VP. I said, have you grown? He said, no. I said, well, if you haven't grown, then you can't do it. I mean, because you go to Disney, if you're not big enough to go on the Tower of Terror, you can't go on the ride. So he's not tall enough, and he's not going to be our vice president. But we like him a lot. We do like him a lot, but he's too short.
Donald Trump joining us. Speaking of the Tower of Terror, lots of protests and hate-filled acts that are infecting college campuses, none bigger than what we've witnessed at Columbia University right there in New York City. If you were president, I have to believe that you would have issued a stern warning, unlike Joe Biden. Your thoughts on what we have seen and this hate-filled anti-Semitism?
Well, if I was your president, this never would have happened. And we would have gone down to Colombia. We would have told these people, you know, you're protesting and you're talking about equality. You're talking about diversity. You're talking about, I love this group. These are tremendous people. Queers for Palestine. I say, okay, let's send you to Palestine. And you tell me how far you fly off the tallest building. How about that? Let's see what happens. Because what they do, these people, what they do, and they're fighting for these people, is they take you, if you're gay, we don't have a problem with it. We love Rick Grinnell. They would take you to the top, and they throw you off, and they say, good luck. That's the end of it. And usually it doesn't work out very well. If you're a woman, we love women. I love women probably. You look at the Billy Bush tape. I like women probably a little too much. You know, they take them in the street. If you're not wearing your hijab, you know, they call it a hijab. I call it a mask. If you're not wearing the mask too much in the street, they throw rocks at you. And they call that tolerance. They call that acceptance. If that's the case, I want to start throwing rocks at some of the people who don't like me because I want to be tolerant, too. I want to be warming up, you know. I'm very good friends with the great. He's called himself the Sandman, Mariano Rivera, the sand person. Now, you can't say man because, you know, you're not allowed to have it. Metallica, enter sand person because you can't say man. It's too gender specific. But you have this, you have him. I taught him how to throw the cutter. I'd love to throw rocks at some of these people who say that that's tolerant. Let's see how they feel about it. These are terrible things that they're doing to our country and terrible things that they're doing to once prestigious institutions that have gone to hell. And the only reason Colombia's gone to hell is because I left New York. If I was there, it would be in line. There would be no problems. Believe me.
Donald Trump joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I've got to imagine, you know, Kristi Noem in the news again, her dog killing admission in her book. If she was on your short list, and we know DeSantis is too short for the short list, but if she was on the short list for vice president, maybe she's now on the outside looking in. What do we think of this latest revelation, sir?
Well, the only dog we're happy that we killed was Al Baghdadi. You remember that? We took him out, and we said he died like a dog. And then we talked about the other dog. We had Conan, his dog's name, and the dog chased him into the tunnel and made him cry and scream like a little pansy because that's what Al Baghdadi actually is. So he died like a bad dog, you know, that spends its nights in the doghouse. And then we had a beautiful and talented dog chase him down. We don't like shooting dogs. Even Crooked Joe's dog, who can't stop biting people, we don't want to shoot those dogs. So we don't want to see that. And now she's talking about she killed horses and all these other things. You know, we don't want to be the party of death. And Kristi Noem, she does a fantastic job at South Dakota. She's probably going to have to stay there because we don't need people. You know, American people love dogs. It's man's best friend. Yep. It's also woman's best friend. Yep. And you know, again, we have the term. We can't say it, man, because people get offended. You know, they don't know what the hell's going on. But you have it, and you look at that. Yes, the sanctimonious is on the too short list. And now Kristi Noem has been taken off of the short list and has been put on the do not touch this list because you're not supposed to kill dogs. We don't like that.
Exactly right. You know, I got to believe, Mr. President, that Time Magazine, much like a lot of the legacy publications, are getting ready to crank out more copies, more publications, more columns of fear porn. Time Magazine with the cover, you on the right on the cover of the magazine on the digital version as well. It says, if he wins, we've already heard from people like Nicole Wallace who have said, well, if Donald Trump gets reelected president, I might lose my show. I'm going to get deplatformed. They're scared, aren't they?
Well, you look at the Time Magazine article, you see what they did. These are terrible people. These are sick people. They put the article out. They put the cover out. And they put the M behind my head. It looks like I'm wearing devil horns. They took away my halo and they put the devil horns there because if you look closely at every picture, you see my beautiful gold hair. And I call it amber waves of gray. Amber, it's tremendous. Yes. And you see what happens. There's usually a halo. You sometimes can't see it, but there usually is. The fake news edits it out. That's why you don't see it. But there's a halo because I'm a perfect person. I'm really tremendous. When you look at it, I get the highest ratings. I'm a beautiful person. I do a great job everywhere. And Time Magazine replaced it with the M. It looks like devil horns. These people are very scared, and they would never do that to Crooked Joe, but they're doing it to me because they don't like me. But they know that not if I win, they know when. They know when. I'm going to win, and I'm going to win like nobody's ever won before. And when I win, we all win. And so they're terrified. They're scared. They're scared more than, I don't know, they're scared more than probably some of these pro-Palestine protesters, when they found out the NYPD was coming, they started doing the Crooked Joe in front of the Pope routine. You know, the poop was coming out like nobody's ever seen before. And so they're very scared. They're scared like Chris Christie before he steps on the scale, or frankly, the scale before Chris Christie steps on it. You know, that the scale gets there. They have a scale sitting on the floor. Chris Christie's coming, and the scale starts up by saying, "Oh, not this again. We don't want to do this again." And so, you know, they're very scared. Time Magazine is very scared, and they should be happy, but they're not.
Oh, how did he do it?
It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Donald Trump with us. Just to follow up on the media and driving the fear of the possibility of Donald Trump serving four more years, I mentioned Nicole Wallace, MSNBC, saying that if you become president again, that she feels like her show could be gone. You'll end the free press as we know it. How do you counter that? I think most people realize it's all BS, but there are a select few out there, Mr. President, that do think you're going to be the end of free and fair elections. Democracy as we know it will be over. You'll never leave office. You're going to control state-run media. How do you counter those select few out there that actually buy this nonsense that the mainstream media sells?
Well, you look at Nicole Wallace. She works for MSNBC, which is owned by Comcast, C-O-N-Cast, because it's a con job. And I know you're in Philadelphia. They have a very large presence there. And con. It's a complete con job. There's a reason why Comcast is one of the most hated companies in this country, because A, nobody loves their cable provider, but B, it's fake news, and nobody likes the fake news. Nobody respects them. It's a complete and total con job. Xfinity, their Wi-Fi is terrible, I can tell you that. But we can look at this, and you look at Wallace, you look at these people on the fake news. They say they're going to take it away. And you look at what happens. When I'm your president, their ratings go up. I help these people. I help these people when I come on their network. We had Caitlin Collins, nasty person. We called her a nasty woman. And I came on the network. They got great ratings. I go on and they play clips of me. Fantastic ratings. You know all about it. Fantastic ratings. I'm going to help the free press because when they talk about me, people watch. They think I'm going to end it. I'm not going to end it. They could do a lot better for themselves by being real and not fake. These are fake people. You look at Jim Acosta. He's a fake person. You look at Joy Reid. She's a fake person. You look at Rachel Maddow. Nobody wants to know. I don't even know what the hell she is other than a deranged, lunatic, sick person. And these people would be tremendous. They'd be doing tremendously well if they told the truth. But they don't want to tell the truth, and so they're hurting themselves. I help these people by talking the truth. They say, look at what he's saying. Sometimes they just put my picture up there and they admire me for a little bit. They say how beautiful my complexion is. They may say orange, but they understand. They wish they looked as good. And you had Madcow with the tax returns. People watched. I help the free press. I'm the reason they exist. Without me, they'd have nothing to talk about. So they ought to say, thank you, Mr. President. And I'm sure they will.
Yes, indeed. Sean Farish joining us this morning as Donald Trump here on Kale and Company, as he always does on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All right. So, Sean, I'm going to get your thoughts. I saw you had a tweet. I incorporated it into my big take this morning with all these protests and riots at these college campuses. And I'm just paraphrasing here. Your tweet comparing 2024 and anti-Semitism with these riots being the equivalent to the 2020 BLM riots. Could this be the dagger for Democrats? First, we thought it was Bidenomics failing. That would cost Joe. Then we said, okay, at least according to a lot of these primary states, that the border and immigration was the biggest issue. Is it possible the anti-Semitism going on in this country could do Joe in? And also, if you care to elaborate on that tweet that you put out last night.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is something that I've been saying for a little bit about the two riots, because one of the things I see from a lot of people is, well, why are we surprised? It's, you know, it's the same people doing the same thing. And I said, well, I never said I was surprised. But here's what I was getting at with that post is basically 2020. You have these Black Lives Matter riots. You have the George Floyd video. It looks really bad. You know, we know a few more things about the incident now. We didn't know it then. And so here come these groups, you know, storming the streets. And yes, the AutoZone went on fire, but a lot of the media broadcasts throughout the day were, you know, of peaceful protests and people occupying the streets. And it was in the name of Black Lives Matter. And, you know, it was a nice, cozy
positive sounding thing at a time where, you know, COVID was going on. People weren't allowed out of their houses. It was all you were able to see. And so the term Black Lives Matter, as I say all the time, I agree with the term. I don't love the movement because it's inherently Marxist. And their views, by the way, have not changed from 2020 to now. They've always been anti-Semitic. I had a Jewish friend. We used to go to rallies all the time. The BLM people would hurl. There's obscenity in the FCC. Like, you couldn't even say this to your friend without having to wash your mouth out with soap. Some of the things this guy was called by BLM protesters from 2020 onward. So their views haven't changed, but their disguise has changed, right? They disguised it all, their Marxism, their violence, under this beautiful, cozy, you know, rosy, reasonable Black Lives Matter sounds like a civil rights movement, right? And while I say I agree, Black Lives Matter because all lives matter, more average, everyday, normal, kind of peripheral politic American voters could get behind something like a Black Lives Matter, right? But they're not going to get behind this idea of free Palestine, or specifically death to America, where the anti-Semitism is now front and center, mm-hmm. right? You're calling Jews pigs. You're storming college campuses, occupying buildings, breaking windows. And it's not, with this idea of, well, you know, Black people are being treated unfairly. It's about, you know, really harboring and like promoting our enemies. Like, yeah, I don't care. There's a lot of people who have different theories about what happened on 9/11. Here's what we do know is that a lot of Americans died and a lot of the people in Palestine cheered. And so, like, these aren't the folks that I'm necessarily going to take the side on. Do I want to see innocent people die anywhere? No. That's first and foremost. But these protests that are going on now, I think they've overplayed their hand. Will this be the dagger? I don't know if this is going to be the dagger because, let's face it, we're in April, we're in May. We're at a time of year where people kind of turn off politics for a little bit. Now, these stories are everywhere, but the average American voter is more likely to be swayed, I think, by the economy and the border, specifically inflation, because they go to the supermarket every day. If they turn on CNN every day, they're not seeing how violent and disgusting these protests are, but they do find out how much eggs cost every day. They do see how much gas costs every day. They may bump into, you know, situations where there's violence or stories or, you know, because the illegals are everywhere, that the border is an issue every day. So I think those are the biggest issues, but I don't think this issue, this protest issue, is going away. Right. There's going to be an extinction burst here. The radical left is used to acting out and getting rewarded. Right now, they're acting out and they can't be rewarded because of the anti-Semitism. So they're just going to act out even worse and even worse. And I think the divide is only going to grow bigger on the left. And that's totally fine with me, even if it doesn't impact the middle. If the left is divided, you know, that helps our chances of winning the election, too.
Let's get to Trump. It's amazing that Trump has actually been kind of on the back burner a little bit here with all these protests going on. But right, obviously, in New York City, Judge Mershon, I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago when you were in Trump mode, violating some of Trump's First Amendment rights, taking on these gag orders, contempt violations that have been issued to Trump. What do you think exactly is going on here? And also, would it benefit Donald Trump if he just keeps violating these, mandates, so to speak, from Mershon, if he actually got arrested? Your thoughts on what's playing out here with making him basically shut up?
Well, it's obvious that they're abusing their power, and I don't know. I think the goal here of Mershon, by basically telling Donald Trump, you're not allowed to tell everybody that my daughter has a financial stake in this case. That's basically what he's saying. You're not allowed to tell anybody that my daughter has a financial interest in what happens in the case that I preside over, because that's what's happening. Her clients include Schiff and Kamala Harris. I mean, Kamala Harris is the vice president. Last I checked, she's going to be on the ballot in 2024, you know, on the ticket with Joe Biden, unless something bizarre happens at the convention. So if her client is Kamala Harris and Kamala Harris is running against Donald Trump and whoever his running mate is going to be, then Judge Mershon's daughter has a financial interest in what happens in that case. He should recuse himself, and the American people should know that the case is being presided over by the father of somebody who has a financial interest in the outcome. I mean, that's just if we want equal justice, we want all the information out, that should be something that people are allowed to hear. But he's gagging him from saying that as if it's not relevant, but it absolutely is. It's relevant because it shapes the perception of what's happening to Donald Trump. Should he keep violating it? Should he push his hand? Look, I at this point, I love Trump to death. I say beat the case, get the hell out of there, get back on the campaign trail. The more time you spend tied up in New York, look, there are good things that are coming from it. The union bosses seeing Donald Trump, you know, these scenes of support coming out of New York, they can definitely influence voters in the swing states. But at some point, it's going to be like Nickelback and get like overplayed, right? Like this is the same song. Let's get through the case. Let's beat the case. Let's get the hell out of there, because the Supreme Court immunity arguments are probably going to sideline all the other cases. So this is going to be all he's got to do, most likely. So let's get through this. You got your gag order. There's 9 violations. Pay the money. Beat the case. Go to Barron's graduation, which he's allowed to do, thankfully, and get out of New York. The only thing I would do if I was Trump, and he may have missed the opportunity, but we'll see what happens. I would have gone to Columbia. I would have gone right out there, and I would have shown up there. I think maybe Secret Service probably told him, look, you know what you're dealing with over there. Not a smart idea. I would have gone to Columbia and made a spectacle of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But maybe it was not safe enough for him to go. I wouldn't doubt that being the case.
Final one for you on the Donald Trump front, and then we'll wrap here. The burying of the hatchet, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump. I don't think from a VP standpoint it makes sense. I don't think Trump would benefit from having DeSantis. I think he needs to go elsewhere. I also don't think DeSantis is kind of the guy that's wired to be a VEEP and do the duties that the job entails, doing public speaking engagements and doing a lot of the lesser important, so to speak, work. I know Dawn and Greg earlier yesterday, we were talking about this, saying he is absolutely in the mix. I don't see it. I'm curious to what you think about the possibility.
I don't see DeSantis as a VP for a couple of reasons. I don't think Ron wants that job. I think he said it specifically. And I know he was campaigning when he did, but he says he's more of an executive type of guy, ahead of something. Maybe, maybe DeSantis is a member of, you know, a secretary. Maybe he's a secretary of defense. Maybe he's a secretary of state. Maybe he's, you know, he could be handling something else in the administration when his term is over. I'm not sure. I think he needs some time in Florida to do what he does best and be a tremendous governor. I mean, you're seeing states like Florida, Texas, and Tennessee leading the way on several cultural issues, financial issues, et cetera, law and order issues. Florida, you don't see these protests breaking out in Florida because he basically said, this is just not going to happen here. Clean it up. And they're done, right? I mean, the kids are crying victim. There's like 5 of them at Florida State. They're crying victim. I mean, if I was a student at Florida State, I'd take my other students and start doing the FSU chop at them, because I know that that's, you know, triggering them. That'd be pretty funny. I don't think DeSantis is going to be VP, and I don't want him to be VP, to be honest with you, because there is a constitutional question about whether 2 candidates can be from the same state. Dick Cheney had to kind of change that around when he ran with Bush. One of them had to change their residence. And, you know, the Supreme Court kind of punted on it back then. But if you don't think the left is going to look for any way to derail a Trump presidency, and if they can put the electoral votes of Florida at risk there, because 2 candidates are from the same state and there's a provision in the Constitution that says that may or may not be allowed, if you don't think they're going to try to exploit that. Mm-hmm. So I'd say avoid that at all costs. Maybe Trump has to change his residency in New Jersey if he wants to make DeSantis or a Byron Donalds his VP. I think a better VP choice would be a guy like maybe J.D. Vance. I like him. People talk about Ben Carson. He's a little quiet, but he's super loyal. You need somebody who's gonna not be afraid to be that tie-breaking vote, though, in the Senate, and not be afraid to be vocal. I would want to change the VP a little bit here, not so somebody who's under the radar a little bit. But if it's a guy like Vance, you know, you're being groomed to be the next president, which I would love to see, I think, a J.D. Vance presidency. I think that would be pretty cool.
Solid choice. I would agree. Sean Farish, great stuff always, buddy. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much, and we'll reconvene in a couple of weeks. Thanks, pal.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Sean Farish joining us here, as he does on Kale and Company now, pretty much on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
We'll come back, and on a monthly basis, the first Wednesday of each month, it is the 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight, presented by Window Nation. It is round number 2 today. Marine Corps Sergeant Jerry L. Golden III. We will honor him.
This dude is jacked, by the way.
Is he really?
I see him standing to Columbia. Out there. Oh, my. Yeah, exactly.
He'll clean up Columbia in 8 minutes.
Columbia, yeah. clean it up real quick.
Real quick.
Real quick.
And he's not going to provide any humanitarian aid for all you little punks out there. All right, we're back after this with our veteran spotlight on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, as we continue on this Wednesday morning, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube as we get ready for round number two of our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight presented by Window Nation. Joining us in studio this morning, Marine Corps Sergeant Jerry L. Golden III, as we honor his historic time and his exemplary contribution to the veteran community. Good to have you back in the studio. It was great to see you about, what, 6 weeks ago at Travis Manion Foundation.
Yes, yes. I just want to say thank you for having me on air, and to Nick, the team, to Sonia, to Andrew, and Tom Brennan. It's a great opportunity. I'm blessed that I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service and everything that you have done. And by the way, for those that are not watching on YouTube right now, Jerry wears a Travis Manion Under Armour golf polo better than I could ever wear.
He's a little bit more cut up than Nick.
Yes, well, he's a veteran, and he will kick butt and take names.
Yeah.
I think if Jerry would go to Columbia right now, he'd end these protests right away. He would take the shirt off, and everybody would run home screaming to mommy and daddy and go back to their basements. So thank you so much for your service. Good to have you back in. Let me just start, and we had our first installment at the first Wednesday of April last month, and we're doing this each and every Wednesday to begin each month. Just generally speaking, because I grew up in a family of veterans from World War II to Vietnam to Desert Storm, never had the courage to get into that line of work. I'm a total coward. But you ultimately made that sacrifice. And I always love to ask people, what was the motivating factor? I mean, some people it's, hey, I saw 9/11. Other, it's just a family legacy. What is it specifically for you?
So for me, it was my father, Senior Chief Golden. He did 28 years in the United States Navy. And growing up around him, he impacted me. He was a big role model in my community, big role model for me. And I just knew I wanted to be like him growing up. I wanted to follow in his footsteps and kind of following that path, even though I did choose a different branch. I joined the Marine Corps, but yes, definitely my big reason why I did it.
You know, I think it's very fascinating when you look at some of these individuals. I mean, everybody is a hero, so brave. And then you have people that take certain specific paths. You entered the UAVIP program, which has led you to Steam Fitters and Local Union 420. Tom Redden from the union. And we, of course, had the honor hour, so to speak, on the Radiothon in March. What about that partnership means so much to you and that connection?
So, I went to the VIP program in 2017, and when I joined the program, it was a true blessing to get into that program. And then that led me to Steam Fitters Local Unit 420 in a smooth transition from the Marine Corps into a civilian career, which is huge to me. And it helped me set up my family with a great career, great benefits, and a great life, after the Marine Corps. So I really am blessed, and I'm happy to have that.
You will be a part of the Future Leaders Conference in the month of May as we get the calendar underway here on May 1st at the International Headquarters in Annapolis, Maryland. And when I see something like Future Leaders Conference, I always like to look at the individuals. I remember in high school there was FBLA. It was called Future Business Leaders of America. And you could pinpoint those individuals. I could see that guy being a business leader.
Right.
You scream leadership. What is it, and what are the characteristics that make you somebody that is fit to be in a leadership position? Because a lot of times on this show, we talk about, and I know you're not here to talk about politics, but we talk about strong leadership versus weak leadership. What is it that makes somebody a great leader?
I think that it's their characteristics, like their ambition, their drive, their willingness to put others before themselves, the ability to work hard and just make the people around them better. You see the great leaders in like basketball. The best players in the game make them people around them better. And I feel like that's important in a leader, to make those around you better and to not to be a boss, but to be a leader where you are setting the example and showing those around you.
You talk about leadership, and it's fascinating, especially in sports. I have a sports background before getting into news and politics, and we were just talking about the Sixers and Joel Embiid, MVP. But at times, he doesn't have a lot of that leadership characteristics and quality. And I think being a leader in any aspect of life, sports, leading a radio station, serving your nation, you take the good with the bad. You take certainly some of the credit, but when things go wrong, you own up and you say, you know what, even if it's not on you, you shoulder the blame.
Times
Joel Embiid's like, well, I blame the fans and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, no accountability, right.
So you're getting hate, brother. Come on.
It's just one of those things where I think at the end of the day, the military, police, law enforcement, it just, I know a lot of people, well, it's alpha males, but it's accountability. It's personal responsibility. Yes. And I think you learn that at a certain age. Some people, it's just ingrained in your DNA. And others, you know, that are seeking a future and maybe they don't know where they want to go with their career or what their identity is, they use the military to find that, and they come out with a passion and a purpose and a drive that maybe they didn't have before they enlisted.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think you hit it spot on. I think a big reason for me was seeing my father and being that leader in my household and in the military when he was in, kind of showed me the way in the direction. But like you said, you go into the military, it definitely instills that in you, and you come out a whole different person. Yes.
So you were in the Marines for, if my notes are correct, 8 years.
Yes, sir.
You had two enlistments, and you joined in January 2010.
I did.
So you had two to Afghanistan.
Yes.
Take me through what that was like, because we have talked about the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Right.
We see what's going on in the Middle East now since October 7th with those terrorist attacks. I mean, just take me through what it was like to be in that world, in that country, in that section of the world, which is just night and day different from the United States.
Right. So it was definitely a culture shock on my first deployment. And I was a young corporal. I just got promoted, and they put me in a position of leadership very early as a fire team leader. And when they pushed me out there, it was like a big deal. It was a lot. Definitely a culture shock, and definitely changed my perspective and made me more thankful for what I have back home. The days were hot, right? The days were long. And, you know, you just had to keep pushing every single day and getting through it. So it was a good experience, but it was a challenging experience at times.
Can I ask a question, Nick? What is the training for the Marine? Because Nick and myself are giant, wimps.
But I did ride a bike 65 miles.
True,
impressive.
True.
That's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. what is the Marine training look like?
So you got 3 months of boot camp where they basically instill discipline. They break you down and they build you up for 3 months. Then you go to either infantry training or Marine combat training, where they train you how to be a better rifleman and basically put you in combat scenarios. After that, you go to your trade school or MOS school, whatever it may be, and then you go to the fleet, where then you do more training for deployments and whatnot.
Okay. So you have this VIP program, right?
Right.
Camp Pendleton. And it's 6 months long. And you were one of 10 that were selected of 50 applicants.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's hard. It's a 20% chance likelihood of making it.
Right.
But you're surrounded with others that are great leaders, other alphas. How do you cut through and rise above a great group to join the elite ranks and be a part of something like a VIP program here?
So I think you just got to try to stand out as best as you can. You know, I told you, hard work ethic and just, you know, continue to drive, be driven, ambitious, and just, you know, be almost obsessed with being great. And that's what I think, that's how you're able to stand out and you know, kind of show face amongst your peers who are also dominant figures in the Marine Corps.
Jerry L. Golden III is with us, Marine Corps Sergeant, as we continue our 1210 Veteran Spotlight here on 1210 WPHT, all brought to you by Window Nation. For all of your window and door needs, visit windownation.com. Jerry was with us during Radiothon, during the Steam Fitters Local 420 Honor Hour with Tom Redden from the Union. Final question for you. I want to look at where we are at today with the military. A lot of the different branches having trouble reaching recruiting numbers. You know, we've got a lot of different global conflicts going on now. our nation directly or indirectly involved with a lot that's going on. Is this an uneasy time? I'm sure you're still in contact with a lot of your brothers that you served with. Where are their minds? And this is not, it doesn't have to be political at all, just with, you know, peace versus war. I mean, for a long stretch, we were really avoiding a lot of conflicts. Certainly people deployed throughout the globe. But right now, it just feels like there's two, three, or four different conflicts or wars that just could erupt at any point right now. Is that an uneasy time for somebody like you that's no longer in active duty? How do you view it now, kind of on the outside looking in, so to speak?
So I feel like you're on the sidelines at this point, and you kind of want to get in the game. So it is a little bit, you get a little bit anxious.
Cause you still have the itch?
I do a little bit. Yeah, I do. And my wife knows back home. She knows that I talk about it all the time because my buddies are still in, and they're ready, and they stay ready, and I love that.
Right.
And I feel really confident in that. But
well, you still look ready.
Yeah.
So I would love to go back in. It definitely is on the back of my mind all the time. So it's not uneasy for me. It's just more like I want to go back. I want to do this. Let's go. You know. Obviously, my wife would not like that in my family, but
right.
I'm ready to go. Yes. Yeah,
so. My wife would love to see me go.
It's true.
Just go in general. Yeah. Not necessarily to war. Just go.
War.
And you're
right.
Just go away.
War, Alaska, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's correct. There you go. Well, right. Hey, man, thank you so much. It's an honor to spotlight you and your brothers. Thank you for everything you do for this nation. And I know this audience especially so incredibly grateful.
Thank you. Thank you for support. I would like to say one more thing. Sure. I want to shout out my mom and say thank you. She has been the light in my life, and she has done so many great things for me. She is truly a blessing. She's always been in my corner. She is the reason I am the man I am today, and I am truly blessed to have her in my life. Thank you, Mom. I love you. And
so oh, my Lord. Say.
Well said.
My God.
The man knows Mother's Day.
Man.
11 days around the corner, right?
I'm right. Playing chess here, Nick. Yeah. I'm playing chess.
and normally I'm anti-shout out on the radio, but his arms are so big. What am I going to say? Yeah. He'll toss me through this window.
It's true.
All right. Great stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, brother. Yeah. We'll come back, put a bow on a Wednesday show. It is Kale and Company. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When we think about Mother's Day, hitting the road, maybe taking Mom on a road trip, thinking about planning those summer road trips, right now is the time to get back out on the roads with a little help from my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're going to help you find that luxury vehicle you've been eyeing. You know you want it. Go get it. Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now from brands such as Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Jaguar, Maserati, BMW, Porsche, and so much more. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. You can stop by one of their Pennsylvania, Delaware, or New Jersey dealers. Piazza, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday morning, the Dawn Show in about 15 minutes. We'll find out what she has on tap in just a few moments. Also today in music history and who on Twitter today. Thanks to Jerry Golden III for being a part of our veteran spotlight. Great work out of him. If you want to contact him on social media, I'll get his information out later on Twitter. Maybe you can find out what his workout regimen looks like and what he eats or doesn't eat, I should say.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's get to some audio. It's time for a brief edition of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
Part 2, yes.
What's on the cut sheet?
Part 2. Remember when you could go out with some friends, maybe join a league, bowling?
Yeah.
It was a nice activity.
Uh-huh.
In the suburbs.
Yeah. By the way, bowling seasons, if you're in a league.
No, is it a season?
They're incredibly long.
Yeah.
They start right after Labor Day and they don't end until April.
Yeah. Not exactly a sport. You know what I mean? Like,
I totally disagree. Absolutely a sport.
Oh, you're.
And I'm not a bowling fan by any stretch.
Come on.
Absolute skill.
No.
Oh, no doubt.
Dawn B, the tiebreaker, is bowling a sport?
Yes.
More of a sport than.
You're both wrong!
It's more of a sport than.
It's a sport.
Than NASCAR.
You're both fired.
I don't know, NASCAR, but it's a sport. Come on.
Yeah, driving a car or throwing a bowling ball?
Poll question. Well, speaking of throwing a bowling ball, all right, poll question. Is bowling a sport?
You try picking up a 300, sir.
Look at the people who bowl. No offense.
I know.
But they can eat a cheeseburger, smoke a cigarette.
Dude, their guts
are hanging out.
One of my best buddies is a 9 handicap on the golf course. He's 6 feet tall, 280. He looks like a slob.
Yeah.
You would think he has no shot at being a good golfer.
YouTube,
and he's great.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to weigh in on is bowling a sport or not. Wow, the yeses right now are winning.
It's a sport. Absolutely. It's not an Olympic sport, but it is a sport. But they do have bowling in the Special Olympics, but not in the regular Olympics.
That's right.
Okay. Well, whether it's a sport or not, if you want to weigh in on it, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, you can join the poll.
What's the worst stalker take, Elvis or bowling?
Elvis.
Put your Elvis shades on if you're going to bash bowling, sir.
Bowling is not a sport.
It's a sport.
It's an activity. Bowling is an activity.
Yeah.
Hang on. You can't. There we go.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
Stop disgusting up our country if you don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Disgusting up. I love that.
All right. Phil, can you roll cut six, please? I can't play the audio because it's just a giant.
He needs help playing his thing, Phil. Please.
Cursing. These people are just throwing bowling balls around this bowling alley. The most disgraceful thing comes at the very end, by the way.
Okay.
They're just throwing bowling balls at one another.
Yeah, like these are soccer balls.
By the way, guys, they're women. Yeah. They're women that are throwing these. Look, right in the head.
Another reason why.
She hits her right in the head with a bowling ball.
And she just dropped like a fly. Look at that. Oh, my God.
Look at that.
Yeah.
We talk all the time about wanting to inflict the most possible bodily harm you can. Throwing a bowling ball at somebody's head would kill them.
Right up there with the most egregious ways to kill somebody.
Absolutely. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD.
It looks like a very nice, like, bougie bowling alley restaurant bar. It's all lit up nice.
Disgraceful activity. Just throwing bowling balls around. Women. Women doing this, by the way.
This is
right in the head.
You give women an inch, they take a mile.
Oh, look at that. Oh, man.
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
These aren't women. These are crazy chicks.
Yes, they are.
Let's qualify.
That's right. Stay away from the crazy chicks at the bowling alley.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see the video and if you want to weigh in on if bowling is a sport or not. Right now, the yeses are running away with it at 77-23. So
I guarantee there's a lot of Thursday Night Bowling League people in our audience.
I'm not saying it's not a skill. I'm not saying it's not an activity. I'm just saying it's not a sport.
Yep. You get there grinding your 9-to-5, and on a Thursday night, you want to go to the alley, play 3 frames, have your beer frame, wear your tight Wrangler jeans and your old New Balance sneakers, and bowl with the boys. That's what you want to do. By the way, every bowler looks the same. You ever notice that?
Yes.
Every bowler just there's just a certain look to the bowler out there, right?
Well, let everybody, if they want to see this video, get over here. Hit the subscribe button while you're here.
You bowl with bumpers?
I haven't bowled in forever.
I occasionally cheat the system.
What?
I join the lane with the bumpers.
That's for like a birthday party for your 4-year-old.
And the ball,
you put the bumpers on.
The bumpers never really come into play for me, but it's just it keeps me in my safe space.
Dawn is calling out
your
lack of manliness.
Even your daughters would say, "Dad, we're not bowling with the bumpers."
I love that big slide you can put your ball on and drop it down the chute and it goes flying out.
Yes.
For like little kids that can't push the ball themselves.
It's so cool.
Phil Almquist has bowled the 279. Phil's a bowler.
Bree on the YouTube chat says, okay, so what you're saying is that you don't know what sports actually are, meaning me.
Boom. Yeah.
Well, you have lost your last 3 FanDuel picks, sir. I mean,
bowling is not a sport.
It's a sport.
Change my mind. All right.
Don't.
That's what I got.
All right, that'll do it for what's on the cut sheet bowling edition part due as we get to Phil Almquist and his 279 on the lanes.
No, we do Dawn first, remember?
Oh, that's right, we do do Dawn. All right,
Dawn. Do Dawn first.
Let's do Dawn first, yes. I'll take care of Dawn and then I'll get to Phil.
So this is just
wrong with us.
Yeah, I know. This is just fraud. We're just trying to laugh at anything else than the reality that we are living in, this Biden reality. Trump, this just dropped within the past, maybe 17 hours. How far would Trump go? Trump is on Time Magazine's cover. And if he wins, so he's speaking out. It's a long form interview. I find this fascinating. So we'll go through that as that's just dropping. Christine Flowers joins us in the first hour, Victoria Coates in the second hour. We've got it all covered for you. But I am fascinated with Trump trusting Time because they have not been kind to him. But it's a lovely picture. And how far Trump would go if he wins, what is it saying? So we'll have that and so much more locally going on. So we'll take it all on.
All right.
By the way, somebody asked on the YouTube chat, John asked, darts. Is darts a sport?
Yes.
Okay, so then everything's a sport.
It's no. Well, chess and checkers are not sports. That's a competition.
Old Man Dudley says bowling has shirts. Other sports have jerseys. Golf also has shirts.
Yeah.
Golf is a sport.
Oh, yeah. If you don't think golf's a sport, I can't help you.
Darts was officially recognized by Sport England back in 2005.
As Al Bundy said, synchronized swimming is not a sport. Mud wrestling is a sport.
Chris Appolito says, is it possible a grown man who uses bowling bumpers could ride a bike 65 miles?
Yes, it is, because I'm living proof of it in the flesh, pal.
It's a miracle.
That's right.
Yeah. Is bowling a sport? 81% say yes. You're all wrong.
Ornery Hounds says on Twitter, the question is not whether bowling is a sport. The question is whether Stalker is an athlete or not.
No, I'm not an athlete. I am not an athlete.
Pickleball?
Nothing. Anyone? No.
I could see Stalker taking up pickleball.
No.
Yeah? I could see you being like a frisbee, extreme frisbee guy.
I played rock music.
And the drums, right?
And the drums.
All right. Speaking of drums and music.
It's Phil time.
It's Phil time.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Wednesday, May 1st. Now, let me quickly say regarding last night's game, I could have sworn the Sixers won the NBA title, considering how much our group text was blowing up after that game. Just a reminder, it was only game 5 of round 1,
Knicks fans,
and I said it would go 7. So we'll see. Now, here's the news. We celebrate the birthdays of Johnny Cole, bassist for the Black Crowes, Steve Ferris from Mr. Mister, and Ray Parker Jr. of Ghostbusters fame. We also lost Gordon Lightfoot a year ago today. Singles include The Eagles' Take It Easy from 72, Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down from 89, and Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water from 73. Albums include Snakes and Arrows by Rush from 2007, and Neil Young's Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere from 1969. And by the way, he's here in about a week and a half. Also in 79, Elton John became the first Western rock star to play in Israel. In 55, Chuck Berry signed to Chess Records in Chicago. And in 66, James Brown performed on the Ed Sullivan Show for the very first time. And lastly, on this day in 2013, a Minnesota man at St. Cloud Hospital racked up $100,000 in unpaid medical bills because he claimed to be a member of Pink Floyd. The man was treated and released,
wow, he went
but not before he signed an autograph for an employee's son. How nice. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
Hey, Phil, if you have time, why don't you give us some stock tips for you? And anything else you want to comment on, it's your moment. We'll just give Phil the last 3 minutes of the show. Fine by me. I'm done rambling. Everybody, have a great rest of your day. I'll be off until next Tuesday. Tony Bruno tomorrow with Greg and Dawn. Tony Bruno, Harry Mays, Greg and Dawn on Friday and Monday. And stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We'll talk to you Tuesday morning at 6. And as our boss would say,
stop disgusting up our country if you don't want to be here.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.